And yet I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith and can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship, that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonour others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child, and I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put away the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part that I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love.
Thank you all. To start with a confession, leaving Newham this morning, I was faced with a red traffic light that wouldn't change. And we sat there and sat there and sat there and debated, do I, don't I, do, and cars were passing on the other three ways, and eventually we decided to break the law. So please forgive me. In love, no doubt you will. Somebody after the service will tell me about the sermon, and I'm saying this in love, brother, but, and then the knife goes in, doesn't it? It's not the right way to express the love of God. It's lovely when new Christians, we've got a couple of new Christians at our church, I was saying I really wish I could have on the pulpit a clock so I could see what the time was. Now, either because of love of me or because of love of short sermons, I don't know, they got me this clock, and I thought that's really nice when love is expressed. But sometimes love isn't expressed, is it? It's a bit like the wife who cried to her husband, you never tell me you love me anymore. To which he replied, I told you I loved you when I married you. If I change my mind, I'll tell you. Love has got to be expressed, hasn't it? It's got to be shared. It's something tangible. It's a doing word. It is a verb, isn't it? That's what I was told when I was at school. It's a doing word. A verb is a doing word. It's something you actually do. You don't just say you love somebody. You've got to express it somehow or other in actions. And whether when you've read this chapter, as we've had it just read to us, you like me feel that perhaps the chapter divisions that were brought in the early 1200s, they weren't there in the original script, of course, are sometimes a bit out. 1 Corinthians 13, I think, should start with chapter 12, verse 13b. And now I will show you the most excellent way. That's what Paul is saying. This is the most excellent way, and I'm now going to tell you. So the whole chapter really hangs together on that. Paul has just listed 8 spiritual gifts. It's very interesting that he uses the ordinal numbers for them. He says firstly, secondly, third, first, second, third. Sometimes we don't realise that some gifts are more useful than others. Although the gift of helps, which we all have, yes, you can fix the chairs, same as me. We've got the gift of helps, and that is vital. And all the gifts that God has given to us should be used. But we don't have them all. In fact, Paul goes on to say, sort of rhetorical questions, I suppose, are all apostles? Obviously, the answer is no. Are all prophets? Do all speak in tongues? The answer is obviously no. We all share the gifts, but we don't all have the same gifts. So if Chris can play the guitar, and I'm struggling to play the guitar because we have no musicians, that's the gift he has that I'm working on. I'm praying about it. But we do have a little man at the back who can somehow or other dial up something on the internet and up it comes on the screen. So that's his gift. He won't speak publicly, but he will sit at the back there and twiddle the knobs and get it right. And he very, very rarely misses the cue with the sound. It's always the sound that goes wrong. Don't ask me why. It's never the pictures. My experience with the Christian Television Association has always been that the sound goes, but the pictures are fine. And of course, it's the sound that we need. We need to hear the Word of God explained to us. Paul selects 5 gifts as examples in this passage. Tongues. Everybody, ears pick up when you hear that. But it's, look at the list. Look at the number it gets. Look where it is in the list. And perhaps you don't rave about the fact that you might have the gift of tongues. It's one of the gifts of God. Prophecy is another. Knowledge, faith, giving. I don't think many Christians realise just how valuable the gift of giving is and how rewarding it is to be able to give gifts that really count. A friend of mine just gave me a gift towards the new missing piece. You haven't seen that before, have you? Not much over the last 50 years. Getting on that way anyway. 1977 it came out, and I was still living in Bristol. But it's now got, at the bottom, 2 million copies in print, for which we praise God, and 12 different languages. We had 50,000 of these, which are now stuck in the back of a chapel in Dymock at the moment. OM are having 10,000 of them. And we did 50,000 in Punjabi as well. So it's amazing the amount that's going into India, and India desperately needs to hear the gospel, as does many other places in the world. So it's great to know that people give gifts, and he's given me a gift towards the printing of the latest edition. I reckon there are about 28 gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're thinking particularly of the most excellent way, love. But there are other gifts. There's a few that are not terribly popular. There's one called martyrdom. You fancy that one? And there's another one called celibacy. That's not very popular either. But I was praying this morning, I expect you were too, for the persecuted church, for those who are suffering, people who are right this moment dying because they love Jesus Christ, and love for Christ is keeping them going. We all have at least one gift. You may not know what that gift is. Some churches have a seminar, and they say they come to our seminar on gifts, and that's a good idea. And surprisingly enough, you can find out, especially when you listen to other people. They tell you what your gift is when you don't really know. Some people, I can think of one particular church streaming that I listened to, where the lady who's leading the singing really hasn't got the gift. And it is excruciating. He says, who can't play the guitar or sing. She hasn't got the gift. Now, nobody has told her that perhaps, you know, there is another gift that you should be using. People sit there wincing. A friend of mine told me yesterday he's leaving to go to another church. And you think, well, find the gift that fits you. The gift that you can express. My little man at the back is back left tonight. He'll be on a video camera. He'll be on about three TV screens. He's got a great big Mac a computer underneath, and he's streaming the service onto YouTube and putting in a PowerPoint into the pictures that he's sending to YouTube. How he does it, I don't know, all by himself. And yet down the road in a huge church, they couldn't stream it last week because they didn't have enough people to man the cameras and do the job. You think, why is that? It's because people are not using the gifts that God has given them. And you, the trouble is with your gift, you've got to use it on a regular basis. If you're a Sunday school teacher, it's every week. And those of us who have done Sunday school realise it's a hard work. It's laborious to do it every week, to do the preparation. But if that's your gift, then that's what you should be doing. Tongues were the gifts that the Corinthians prized. And unfortunately, they also highly abused it and counterfeited it as well. In fact, I can remember a young Christian who came to my house in London when I was about 15, I think. And he said, oh, I've just got the gift of tongues. He said, oh, it's wonderful. It's like old English. I'll show you how you do it. You just start spitting, and then And I'm going, oh no, please. Fortunately, I'd been brought up knowing the Bible a little bit, so I knew that he was really deceived. He was deluded into thinking that he had the gift. He may have been able to express it elsewhere, but he certainly couldn't turn it on like a tap on and off on my doorstep, just like that, with no meaning. So that gift has to be looked after very carefully. And Paul speaks about, if you could speak in tongues, even the tongues of angels. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that anybody has ever spoken in the tongues of angels. And even if we could, it certainly wouldn't be as any good as showing love to one another. Paul had shown to the Corinthian church what love really was in the way he lived. He'd also given them good doctrine. Do you like doctrine? People, I know some Christians who say, doctrine divides. You mustn't say that. I'm just going through Genesis at the moment at Dimmock. And we've gone through the juicy bits, you know, the 6 days and the creation and all the rest of it. But it does make people think. Sometimes. Usually, they just react. In fact, there's a church not far away from where I live where they moan if you talk about creation. You think, come on. This is the basis of the Word of God. Every doctrine that you can find in the Bible begins in Genesis, especially the first 11 chapters, which we're going through at the moment. I'm going up the Tower of Babel tonight. And that just shows you, confusion is what happens when people get together to do their own thing. And confusion was the case, wasn't it, at Corinth. And Paul is now saying, I'm showing you the most excellent way. Love one another and show love to people outside, to those of the fellowship. That's the most important thing. The fact that you might have this gift or that gift or this supernatural ability is wonderful, but love must control the use of those gifts. And unfortunately, sometimes you get people who maybe have the leadership gift and they become dictators. New Testament has got cases like that that you can refer to. And possibly you've seen in churches where someone has decided to dictate the way that church is going instead of sharing it in love. So the showy gifts might be interesting to you, but love is the most important gift that we can have. They're supposed to benefit believers and people who are not yet Christians. So that gift that you might have is meant for the blessing of your brothers and sisters in Christ and the people that come in and your neighbours and friends that you might meet from time to time. In Paul's day, there were plenty of pagan deities that were being worshipped at the time, Bacchus, Dionysius, Sibyl, and lots of others. And they made ecstatic noises and they accompanied with gongs and cymbals and trumpets. And maybe that's what he's talking about here. He's saying that if you don't have love, you're just wasting your time. You're just banging around, making a lot of noise, crashing cymbals, but going nowhere. They're no better than pagans if they're just repeating the gentleman that I referred to in London. I hope went on to learn a little bit more about the Bible as he matured in his faith. But he thought that he could come and show me this wonderful gift that he had. And really, I remember as a young teenager not wanting to offend him, and I think I got my handkerchief out and I actually chewed on it to stop myself laughing, because it was so pathetic that he thought this was most important. And yet the most excellent way is to love one another. If he'd have come over and said to me, "I've just received Christ, isn't that wonderful, isn't Christ wonderful?" He would have been blessing me and sharing something of value. He came over and showed me something that really didn't impress me very much at all. Instead of using our spiritual gifts to enhance our own reputation, or as some people do on YouTube, if you've ever looked at it, or even on the terrestrial television, use their gifts to make money. The quickest way, apparently, to make money in this world is to start a new religion. That's what it seems to be. And these fellas that get on TV programs that they get sponsored by other people that cost an enormous amount of money, they very often are failed characters. Some of them have come back after failure and still quite happily share what they couldn't consider the gospel. But it's full of themselves. That's what seems to be coming through. Christ is what we should be preaching. If we don't, in our worship times and in our evangelism, if we don't preach about the Lord Jesus Christ, there's something wrong. Dreadfully wrong. We found in our church an old fella. He's slightly older than me, so he's really old. he's a farmer. And he's just discovered that he can actually talk to the camera. If you've ever done that, you know what it's like. Some people see a microphone and freeze, see a camera and they freeze. But he has his flat cap on, he sits on the front of his tractor, and he talks. Now, he will use big, long language, and I keep saying, "Good script, Pete, but you know, dichotomy is not a word that everybody uses every day," and so on. But he will throw in the old Carl Jung and various other things, and think, "Oh dear." But he's found a gift, and he's using it for the glory of God. But the latest one that he has produced, he's done Faith and Grace so far, and he's now doing Salvation. I read his script because he was going up on our church website. So I read his script and I gave him simple criticism, or helpful, I thought, criticism, that maybe some of the language was a bit beyond people. Good information, but shooting over people's heads is a waste of time if they don't understand what you're saying. And I said, you've just made a piece about salvation and you haven't mentioned the cross. Oh, he didn't seem to realise that was important. He was going into the politically correct, this, that and the other, and Carl Jung says this and somebody else says that, and all these long words, but he missed the point. The love of Christ on the cross is what we should be preaching. And if our services don't preach Christ, if we don't at least have some literature around to offer people who haven't received Christ yet, we don't encourage them to receive him, then we're wasting our time really, aren't we? Sometimes, unfortunately, people don't use their gifts because of lack of love. They hold back.
They say, oh, I can't do it. It's too much hard work. I really couldn't do that.
And they restrict what the Holy Spirit can do in their lives. The Bible says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that's what he wants. He wants us to remember that Christ is the one who motivates everything that we do. For the gift of God is eternal life. It's God that has been given to us by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit can help you to express your gift, whether you feel you can do it, or you don't want to do it, or you don't feel you can do it. Just do it and find that he will support you, especially as he will show you which gifts to use and perhaps which gifts not to use. We did a preaching seminar, I don't know quite why, Roger Chilvers and I, many years ago, and it was in the early days of the Christian Television Association. So I stood at the back with a video camera, and it was surprising how many people did this. and some this, or they got the handkerchief out, or you probably worked out what my habit is already, because we all have them. But it was amazing to see that some people realised that's not my gift. You only had to replay the 5 minutes that they did to camera for them to realise it's not their gift. That's no big deal. It's not a recrimination. It's not saying that they're no good. It's just saying, use your gift elsewhere. Use another gift. Maybe you've got a better gift that you can use, even more effective than if you were to start preaching. So preaching sometimes is considered important. And unfortunately, pastors, I know you're looking for one at the moment, the church in Newent, Glebe Chapel, where I used to be, they're looking for a pastor. They've gone as far as Colorado to drag a couple of fella over and trying to work out how to get him a visa and a house. And why Colorado, I don't know. Down the road, there's Gawsley Baptist. They haven't got a pastor either. And we're starting another church in Ledbury. It's strange the way things happen, because people flock around a pastor and the pastor becomes the be-all and end-all. They put him on a pedestal, and of course if something happens and he fails, which human beings do, then it can be very difficult for everyone else. So remember, whoever's in charge, whoever's in leadership in your church is just a human being. We should be praying for them and making sure that we certainly look after them. But if you lack love in the sense that you won't use your gifts, that seems very, very sad to me. We had two sisters who were older than me. They were my Sunday school teachers in my church in London. And they both had beautiful singing voices. They were trained by somebody called Jakes Hopkins, who apparently who my father told me was a very important voice teacher and musician at the time. One was a soprano, and one had a beautiful contralto voice. But I never heard them use those voices in the church at all. I found that really, really sad. I think possibly it was because in those days, women shouldn't be involved in that sort of thing. Went to a church recently and asked if a couple could sing. No, can't. And after the service, I said, I'm sorry that you couldn't sing. And then out of the gentleman's toilet came the couple that were singing, and they were both blokes. And the leader said, oh, I didn't realise they were men. And I thought, well, check up before. And what's the difference if somebody wants to express? But maybe we're moving on a little bit in these days. But maybe even that, we can move on too far. That love that we want to express can overflow into, oh, well, it doesn't really matter. Oh, well, she's living with him. Doesn't really matter. He's not married and he's going out with her. Doesn't really matter. And we're covering up a lot of things. We've got to hold to the doctrine, but we've got to use that love that Christ has given to each one of us. I sincerely hope that everybody here in this service has received the gift of God, which is eternal life, and therefore has the love of God in their life, as well as other gifts that the Holy Spirit has given to you. If you haven't, I can give you a copy of this if you're not careful. In fact, I think there's a photograph on our website of me giving a copy of this to, I think, possibly one of your daughters. Somebody, over there it was. Have a look on the website, you'll be able to find a younger version of me many years ago. But that's the main thing, isn't it? That we find our gift and then in love share it. Don't say, oh, I'm going to keep it to myself because I can't or it's going to be difficult. That's a lack of love. If you're really in love with Christ, then Christ, the love of Christ will constrain you, will motivate you into doing what he wants you to do. So we started with an excellent way. That excellent way is love. And as we close, we're going to sing a lovely song, which you know very well. You know the words, I'm sure. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. If you haven't been using your gifts at all, you've been keeping them to yourself or feeling that maybe you're too insignificant to use them, let the Holy Spirit have your life and you'll be surprised what he can do. This was written by somebody who failed GCE English 4 times. I did get it the fifth time, I think fourth or the fifth time. I didn't understand. That's my excuse. Being an engineer, I was writing like an engineer instead of writing like a the snake slithered through the grass and all this stuff that you have to write if you want to pass instead of factual stuff. So I was very much on my back in Bristol at the time because I had my cartilage done in 1977. I just wrote this book. Look what God has done with that. Today it's going all over the place. Tony Packer, who maybe some of you know, lives in Bristol, works together with me from time to time. He's just gone to Serbia. He's just coming up 80, as am I. And we work together, sharing the good news of the gospel. We don't know how long we've got, and neither do you, but give your life to Christ. There is that excellent way that Christ can use for you. That love of God will move you on So say in the song that we're going to sing now, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. You're the potter. I'm the clay. Let's sing it now. Heavenly Father, we first pray for any person here who's never truly trusted you as Saviour. We pray that this may be a sacred moment when the Holy Spirit will touch that person and open up their hearts and make them realise just how much Christ loved them to go and die on the cross. We pray for us, Lord, who've perhaps known you for some time or even for a long time. Sometimes our worship gets stale. Sometimes we forget to use the gifts that you've given to us. Sometimes we restrict them so that they can only be used occasionally or in difficult circumstances. Lord, we pray that we may be willing to be like a lump of clay, to be moulded and made into whatever you will. So, Heavenly Father, we pray that each one of us may know that most excellent way in our lives, that love of God pulsating through our lives. We pray that it may be so evident that people will see Christ living in us. And we pray that wherever we can, we will share the good news of the gospel with people who desperately need to hear some good news in these days. Lord, we live in a chaotic world, a world that's, we know, going to get worse and worse and worse. But we thank you, Lord, that you've not only told us the beginning in Genesis, you've told us the end of the story in Revelation. We thank you, Heavenly Father, you've given us all the information that we need. There's many things that we would like to know that we don't know, but there are plenty of things that you've given to us to help us to realise that you are the maker and creator of this world. You're the one who's in control. And you're the one that sends your Son, the Lord Jesus, to die for us on the cross. So be with us now, Lord, as we fellowship together and continue on through this day. Help us to be a blessing to somebody else, maybe now as we speak with one another, or maybe as we get home or go to another place this afternoon. Help us to be loving Christians, showing the love of Christ that is so amazing. Thank you, Father, for the death of Jesus Christ on the cross and the fact that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Be with us, Lord, as we pray and continue. In Jesus' name, amen.